Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to a slightly later than usual episode from high above all other pedantic forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. That's right, my friends, I'm back from the Converse County GOP banquet that was held in Douglas, Wyoming last night. We had a fantastic time, and here in a little bit, I'm going to play you my entire speech so you can almost feel like you were there. While I was there, I got a fantastic little gift. You remember the easy button that was advertised on TV? I think it was on the Staples commercials or something. You know, they push the button and they say, wow, that was easy. Mine's better.
That would be another example of, as you say, fake news. You know why? Fake news.
Okay, just one more.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen.
This has got to be like the greatest little toy I've had in a while. The next time we talk about the Red Star, I'll probably run the batteries out of it. So before we get to my speech, some totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden or you're one of these redcoats in the Republican Party and you don't have a clue what's going on, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and find out what you should have been reading all along. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you in part by the Wing It Food Truck. If you've got a hankering for the best hot wings in the state of Wyoming, well, then you need to find out exactly where the Wing It Food Truck is at and go get you some of their fantastic wings. You can find them today in Spearfish, South Dakota. Tomorrow, they'll be in Gillette from 11 to 2 and then in Wright from 4 to 7. And then on Friday, they'll be in Sheridan at the Blacktooth Brewery. Okay, on with the speech. Now, before I play it for you, I'd just like to thank the Converse County GOP for their hospitality. It was a great evening, and thank you very much for having me. Without further ado, here's my comments from last night's GOP banquet in Douglas, Wyoming.
I grew up in Buffalo, Wyoming. I spent a rather dubious 10-year adventure in Virginia that I don't really want to talk about again. And then I moved back to Wyoming. You know, it's fascinating. You grow up here, and the only thing that you can think about going through high school is how you want to get the heck out of this place. And then once you leave, the only thing you want is to come back home. And so that's what I did. I am an Eagle Scout. It's probably the thing that I am most proud of in my life. And if you ask me, I think the world could use a little bit more trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind right about now. So 11 months ago, I was sitting around my very small apartment. Quite frankly, the room that you guys got me is bigger than my apartment. But anyway, I was sitting around my apartment and I was feeling sorry for myself. I just lost an election by 130 votes. And interestingly enough, the previous election, I also lost by 130 votes. Don't tell me there aren't some shenanigans that are going on in our election system, because I know different. Well, anyway, I thought to myself, man, you know, it's dumb sitting around here feeling sorry. You know, I need to do something. And so I bought the domain Cowboy State Politics for $2. I went to Family Dollar and bought a microphone for $35. Thank God I've got a new one. And so that kind of started my assault on the Redcoats. Now, you'll hear me use that term, and I think it deserves a little bit of definition. So being a history major, I can think of no better insult to somebody than a redcoat. You see, during the Revolutionary War, nobody could tell the difference between who was actually a patriot and who was a redcoat, because they all looked the same. You know, you had collaborators and people who were for the Revolution walking all around, and nobody really knew the difference. And it wasn't until these redcoats would go to a house that they had seized from one of the colonists, and they took off their patriot clothes and revealed themselves for who they really are. And in Wyoming, in the Republican Party, we have very much the same phenomenon going on. We have people that come to us and they say, hey, we're Republican, we're conservative, we love guns, we hate abortion, and you should vote for us. And we, being from Wyoming, we say, you know, we should probably take them at their word. So we just check the box, and we go on. Well, the result of which is we have a legislature that is not conservative. Yes. And if you paid any attention to the special session, you know that's to be true.
Yes.
So that's what I mean by going after redcoats. Now, cowboy state politics started December 3rd of last year, so it's only been going for 11 months. And I can't tell you how thankful I am that you all listen. It really does mean the world to me. Interestingly enough, I checked the downloads this morning, and it's at 42,000. So pretty amazing. Now, in kind of a strange turn of irony, you'll never guess who the first person I interviewed was. It was the founder of the Frontier Republicans, Gail Simmons. And let me tell you guys, that interview is a treasure trove. I mean, every time I go back and listen to it, there is something else that's absolutely amazing in there. And my favorite quotation out of that whole thing is when I asked her, "So Gail, what part of the party platform do you agree with?" And she said, "Oh, well, we agree with the whole thing." Well, I think if you look at the actions of the Frontier Republicans, you can tell that they don't agree with the party platform at all. So anyway, what began as something to occupy my time has become one of the biggest podcasts in the state of Wyoming, and it most certainly is the biggest conservative podcast in the state of Wyoming. So where I'd like to begin is how we got to where we are at right now, where we have a legislature that basically screwed us in the special session. I mean, let's not pull any punches, guys. We sent them down there to protect our rights, and what we got was the furthest thing from it. So I guess the first definition that we need to really talk about is, what does it mean to be a conservative? And I think probably the best definition comes from the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln. He was speaking at the Cooper Union, which, if you don't know what that is, before the Civil War, this guy named Cooper, he set up a hall, not that much different from this one, and his whole intent was to allow anybody to come and speak, whether you were white or black, or you were with the Union, or you were with the Southern states, you could come to his place and you could speak, and everybody could be heard. And so President Lincoln said this on February 27th of 1860. He said, and I quote, "But you say that you're conservative, eminently conservative, while we are revolutionary, destructive, or something of the sort. But what is conservatism? Is it not adherence to the old and tried against the new and untried? We stick to, contend for, the identical old policy on the point in controversy, which was adopted by our fathers who framed the government under which we live. While you, with one accord, reject and scout and spit upon that old policy and insist upon substituting something new. True, you disagree among yourselves as to what that substitute shall be. You're divided on the new propositions and plans, but you are unanimous in rejecting and denouncing the old policy of our fathers. Not one of you, not one of all of your various plans can show a precedent or an advocate in the century within our government, in which our government originated. Consider then whether your claim of conservatism for yourselves and your charge of destructiveness against us are based on the most clear and stable foundations." And what I get from that is a conservative adheres to our founding principles.
Amen.
To the Constitution. The Constitution has worked since our founding, so why is it that we should change it now? Well, we shouldn't. Like, the answers to all of our problems are right there. All we have to do is follow it. Now, while I would not presume to improve upon Abraham Lincoln's definition of what conservatism is, we are in Wyoming, and I think I would make three additions. Now, if you've never read the Wyoming Constitution, first of all, shame on you. But second, you really should. It's one of the most amazing documents that I've ever read. Now, historically, state constitutions were made up kind of a mishmash of different state constitutions, and ours is no different. with one notable difference, and I'll get to that one in just a minute. But the first addition I would make to what a conservative is in Article 1, Section 1 of our Constitution. Let me just read it for you. All power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness. And for the advancement of these ends, they have at all times an inalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such manner as they think proper.
Right on.
Right on.
Right on.
Now, the second one, I'm sure you're all familiar with, as we were the first state to include this in our platform, and that is one of equal rights. Now, at the time, we were talking about women's suffrage. And if you've never read, whoops, got away from the microphone. If you've never read this book, it's The History of Wyoming by T.A. Larson. It's probably the definitive history book on Wyoming. Now, while I don't agree with some of his conclusions, if you want to know about Wyoming, this is the book to read, and you really should do that. So at the Constitutional Convention at the territorial capital in Cheyenne, there really was no question as to whether or not our state should allow women's suffrage. I mean, there were some Democrats, not kidding you, there were some Democrats that didn't want women's suffrage at all, because that's exactly what Democrats do, is they advocate against individual rights wherever they possibly can. So there were a few of those. But the vast majority of delegates to the Constitutional Convention just wanted, it was a question of how women's suffrage should come about, whether it would be a ballot that was put to the voters, or if it should be included in our Constitution. And I found, not that long ago actually, this quotation from Charles Burritt. Charles Burritt was a delegate from Buffalo. Yeah, I'm kind of proud of him. But he said, and I quote, "If they will not let us in with this plank in our platform," that is equal rights, "with this plank in our Constitution, we will stay out forever."
Wow. Yes.
Okay? And that was the sentiment of the Constitutional Convention from there forward. That the delegates that wrote our Constitution said that if we wouldn't allow women the right to vote, then we'll just stay out. Okay? And that, for the majority of us, is the attitude that we have. We believe in individual rights, and we want our representatives and senators to fight for those rights. Now, if you don't believe me about the Democrats, let me just read you one little passage out of here. And it says, "The Democrats who raised most of the objections probably were more distressed at the prospect of another Republican state." Now, he's talking about Congress in D.C. Than they were about women's suffrage. "But with Republicans in control of both houses of Congress, it would hardly do to argue publicly against adding a Republican state." So they talked unconvincingly about the evils of women's suffrage. So my point in bringing this up is that Democrats and the Redcoats always argue against individual rights because they don't believe in them. They believe in collective rights. That is the fundamental difference between conservatives and socialists. We conservatives believe in the power of the individual. Socialists do not. They believe in the power of the group. So the third addition I would make to Abraham Lincoln's definition as to what a conservative is absolutely my favorite in the whole Constitution. Now, it's true, I've been accused of sleeping with a copy of the Constitution underneath my pillow. That's only partly true. But my favorite passage is Article 1, Section 7, and that is absolute arbitrary power over the lives, liberty, and property of free men exists nowhere in a republic, not even in the largest majority. So what that means in Wyoming is it doesn't matter how loud the voices are on the other side. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many of them there are. We always listen to the voices of the minority. And so the voices, and I'd like to pause here for just a second. The voices in the minority were those conservatives, real conservatives, in our legislature during the special session. And I would ask all of you, there are several of them in the crowd. Representative Chuck Gray is here, Chip Diamond, Jeremy Haroldson. Please, please give them a round of applause. Stand up. Come on. Get up. Stand up for them. Come on. I encourage you to all of you to go back and listen to the speeches that they gave on the floor. They are amazing.
Yes.
They absolutely are. If you want to hear something that will touch your heart, all you have to do is go and pull them up on YouTube. They were absolutely amazing, and I thank you, gentlemen.
Yes.
So that is what it means to be a conservative. Now, Frank and I go back and forth on this one a little bit, but I think that being a conservative is a bit like being pregnant. You can't be kind of pregnant. You either are or you aren't. And in my view, being a conservative is exactly that. Now, of course, we have to have a little bit of leeway, so if you agree with 80% of the platform, then we'll agree that you're a conservative. But my question, guys, is which 80%? I mean, is it okay to disagree with the Second Amendment on Tuesday, but as long as you say that abortion is wrong on a Thursday, that means you're conservative?
No.
No, I don't think so. Okay? There are certain principles that all of us agree upon, that we believe in life, and that no one has the right to take another's life without cause. We believe in the Second Amendment. We believe in family values. We believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Those are universal principles that all of us in this room probably agree on. So I think I would like to go to begin the rest of the discussion with the truth.
We'll get back to all the standing ovations in just a second, but first, a totally obscene profit timeout. On my way down to Douglas, I saw several buildings that were most likely the work of my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. They stand the test of time, and I'm telling you, from the interstate, they look absolutely amazing. It's true, they can build you a building with that the foundation will have a 50-year warranty. You won't get that from their competition. Nick and Jesse are the best at what they do, and they've been doing it longer than just anybody else around. You'll never hear that dumb phrase, industry standard, come out of their mouth, because they just don't believe in it. Like I said, they're the best at what they do, and they've been doing it longer than anybody else around. So if you're in the market for an outbuilding or garage or any type of building, really, you should give them a call at 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Don't forget about the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. I'll post all of the episodes there, but also anything I find throughout the course of the week that I think you might be interested in. You should like it, share it, and you should tell everybody you know about it. And now, the conclusion of my speech.
We're the ones responsible for the situation that we're in. We are, okay? We can't have any further discussion unless we agree upon that. You see, because in Wyoming, we all live here because we want to be left alone, right? We want to do our own thing, and we don't want other people to bother us. That's kind of why we live here, right? So when people come to us and they say, hey, we're Republican, we're conservative, and we think abortion is wrong, and we like our guns, you should vote for us. Well, we trust people, and then we say, okay. Well, the truth is, we should have done our homework a little bit better. So we have to accept that we, the people, all power is inherent in the people. So we're the ones that are responsible for electing these jokers that go to Cheyenne. And so it is also we, the people, that can change it.
Right.
Okay? And we absolutely have to. But there's another group of jokers that are also responsible for the situation that we're in, and it's the media. Whoa! I mean, I'm telling you guys, there are more jackalopes in Douglas, Wyoming than there is truth in the Casper Star.
Or the Douglas budget.
Kind of a funny story. During the special session, I was sitting next to Frank, and on the other side of Frank was a reporter from the Casper Star. And she says, well, I don't understand why you guys call us the Red Star. And all Frank said was, well, it's a reputation that's well earned. And she says, well, I'm a different reporter. And Frank says, why don't you write that way? The point is that the Red Star and myself can watch the same set of events and come up with two entirely different conclusions. Quite frankly, most of the time, they're just making it up as they go. Now, the Cowpie, I mean Cowboy State Daily, they're no different. Okay? If you watch their website, the only thing they've been talking about for 3 weeks is Troy Bright. Okay? Now, we can all agree that he probably shouldn't have written some of the things in that email that he wrote, but by God, there's other things that are happening in this state than just that one instance. Okay? So we have the media to blame, too, for not making any progress in Cheyenne. We absolutely do. So what are the results of us not doing our job and the media, well, doing what they think is their job? Well, we have a special session where nothing was really accomplished. We have a bill that doesn't really do anything. Though if you read the Red Star and the Cowpie, they'll tell you that it's fantastic, that it protects your rights and everything is just hunky-dory, but we know different, don't we? So let's talk about Senate File 1003, okay? That one was the anti-discrimination bill, and quite frankly, that one would have fixed most of our problems. You see, Democrats don't really have a problem creating new special classes when it deals with 57 genders. They do have a problem creating a special class when it deals with vaccinations. Excuse me for a moment. So that bill would have fixed most of our problems. If we had just created a special class that says that you can't discriminate against somebody based on their vaccination status, problem solved, right? Okay. In Wyoming, I have to bring this up. Our discrimination statute is 69102, and it's fascinating. It says that no citizen shall be deprived of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or the necessary means thereof, because of race, sex, creed, or religion. How difficult would it be to add vaccination status to it?
Amen.
It wouldn't at all, okay? But the senator from Converse County voted against it.
That's right.
I watched him. He gave a very agonizing speech how he couldn't vote for it. And then he didn't. And the result is Brian Boehner voted against Senate File 103. But he voted in favor of a gambling bill. I mean, that certainly protects all of our rights, doesn't it? In fact, Mr. Boehner votes with the Democrats 80% of the time. 80%. Now, raise your hand in here if you agree with the Democrats 80% of the time. Yeah, I don't even have to wait for that one. You guys don't. But the point is that we really need to do our research on our senators and representatives. Let me give you another one. Representative Aaron Clausen, he votes with the Democrats 74% of the time.
And lies about it.
And, well, yeah, and he's certainly truthful about it, too. Now, where do these numbers come from? Well, I like to use Doug Girard's website, Evidence-Based Wyoming. And what he does, if you're not aware, is he takes all of the votes from everybody, from the Democrats and from the Republicans, and he has this legislative analysis tool that you can pick one representative or senator and see how they stack up against the other party. Okay? And so those are where those numbers are coming from. Now, I heard a very disturbing thing yesterday about Representative Aaron Clausen. And since we're hunting redcoats, I see no reason why I shouldn't bring it up. He alluded to taking the 501c3 status away from a church. Now, he didn't say he was going to. He alluded to it. Okay, in the state of Wyoming. So let me just tell you about the role of the church in our government. The church has always been involved in our government.
That's right.
Always, from the very beginning. And if you have any doubt that the Constitution was not aided by the hand of God, you are certainly mistaken.
Exactly.
Our rights come from God. Amen. They do not come from government. If they come from government, they can be taken away from you. And the only person that can take your rights away from you is you.
Exactly.
So, does anybody know where the largest church in Washington, D.C. was? Anybody? You know it, Frank? It's the Capitol building. Nine denominations of churches met inside the Capitol building for numerous years. In fact, Thomas Jefferson was a pew holder in the Capitol building. If you walk into the Capitol Rotunda and you look at all of the paintings, every single one of them either has the Bible, it has a minister, or it has somebody praying in it. So don't tell me that the church has not had a role in government. Now, where does this whole separation of church and state business come from? Well, it began with a letter that the Danbury Baptists wrote to Thomas Jefferson, and they were worried that they were going to be forced to become Catholic. And Thomas Jefferson replied, and he said, no, don't worry about it, because there is a wall of separation between church and state. And what that means, historically anyway, is that not that the church can't have an influence on government, but it's the reverse, that government can't have a role in the church. Okay. So I find it very offensive that a Wyoming representative would even allude to that. And quite frankly, you should vote him out of office because of it.
You can tell them what church. It's Trinity Baptist here.
Yeah, it's Trinity Baptist Church. Now, you'll notice, if you listen to my program, well, if you don't, I want to know why, but if you listen to my program, if I haven't brought somebody up, it's because they haven't done anything. And if you'll notice, I haven't mentioned Aaron Clausen because, well, he doesn't really do anything except vote bad. The other thing that has come to light, and I'm so happy I was able to do this for you, but frankly, it made me pretty sad, was to find out that all of the people that voted against the special session and all of the people that did not turn in a ballot took money from pharmaceutical companies. They were bought off, guys. And if you line up their votes to who took money from Pfizer, from the Wyoming Medical PAC, and from the Wyoming Educational Association, they line up perfectly, guys. And the sickening part about it is we could understand if it was a large amount of money. If it was $5,000 or $10,000, well, you know, why, who wouldn't sell their rights for 10 grand? But the reality is they sold our rights for a couple hundred bucks. I mean, honestly, it's disgusting enough that they took money from Pfizer or from the Wyoming Medical PAC or you name it, but they did it for a measly $100. Now, does that tell you what they think of you?
Yes.
It ought to. So, what can we do about all this? Well, tonight, I'm going to uncork a statewide effort that we're going to try to do. If you've paid attention to my program, back in August, Johnson County put together a grassroots organization and we beat a socialistic tax. And we did it with people just like everybody that's in this room. We got together, we organized, we raised money, and we beat that tax 72% to the socialist 28%. It was beautiful. But anyway, so what we're going to do is, I've got representatives across the state that are going to help organize people like you and me. And the whole idea is so that we can get people in that state house 3 times a week, every week, for 60 days, so they cannot ignore us again.
Yes.
Period. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to draft a bill. And I don't know who's going to run it yet. I've got a couple of ideas. But it's going to be what we wanted you to do in the first place. Ban mandates in the state of Wyoming.
Amen.
Period. But it's going to take work, guys. We only got 2 months before the special session, so we've really got to get after it. And the whole idea is maybe you can go to Cheyenne, but you can't afford a hotel room. Well, it just so happens we can all pitch in and get you a hotel room just so you can be there. So we can look these legislators in the eye, people in this room excluded, of course, because they're already fighting for our rights. But we can look these people in the eye and say, you will vote for what we want. Either that, or we are going to campaign against you, and you are going to lose.
Amen.
So that's what we're working on, and we're going to have the first meeting this upcoming Friday or Saturday, depending on how long Frank talks, in Buffalo at the state committee meeting. So, in conclusion, we're in the situation we're in because we didn't do our homework. We've created a legislature that is not conservative. But here's the good news, guys. We can change it. We are literally 6 to 8 seats away from taking the House. Am I right, guys?
Yep.
Can you imagine what it would look like if we had a conservative as the Speaker of the House and not Redcoat Eric Barlow? Can you imagine? Well, let me just tell you. Abortion bills wouldn't be in the drawer anymore, but Medicaid expansion would. Conservative ideas that we all believe in would make it to the floor. Maybe we might actually get a Second Amendment Preservation Act.
Right. Yep.
Think about how amazing that would be. But I'm telling you, it is going to take work, and it is going to take everybody in this room to do it. But I can tell you, we beat that tax in Johnson County doing the exact same thing, and there is no reason why we can't do it again on a state level.
Come on.
It's just going to take all of us getting involved. So I've mentioned Abraham Lincoln a number of times, or at least once. And I'd like to conclude with him. Let us be diverted by none of those sophistical contrivances wherewith we are so industrially plied and belabored. Contrivances such as groping for some middle ground between right and wrong. Vain is the search for a man who should be neither a living man nor a dead man. 1 Kings 18:21 says, "How long have you halted between two opinions?" What that means is, how long have you not taken a side? How long have you sat back and said, "Someone else can do this"? How long? Well, guys, the only thing that stays in the middle of the road for very long is the yellow line and deer carcasses. So let us have faith that right makes might. And we know that we are in the right. And I guarantee you, if we work together, we will have might. And in that faith, let us, to the end, dare to do our duty as we understand it. Thank you.
Thank you, Converse County, for having me. From the base of the Bighorns, in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.